Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd. I'm coming to you live from the Las Vegas area. I am here for a convention, but I'm excited about the topic tonight. And before we get off into the purpose of the show, let's go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God, Father, we appreciate you. Lord, I thank you for the many listening ears tonight, for those people that will engage this process, as well as those, Father, that are listening to hear directly from you. God, I bless you, oh God. And even as I travel, Father, I thank you, oh God, for the people that are transporting me, Father. I ask that you bless them extensively, oh God, with good health. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am in Las Vegas. I came here for a convention. Hold on one second. We are here, and God is definitely showing me some things. I'm excited about it. And because of that, you know, then I'm able to really dig off into a vision that God has given me. But tonight we want to talk about Genesis chapter number 2, and which I think is an interesting topic because it's going to lead us off into something totally different. And as we talk about these things, I believe it's going to be a very instrumental help in who we are and explicitly in what we do. So as we tap it in, grab your Bibles. And as you select, as you pull out your Bibles and in the book of Genesis, we're talking about a fresh start. And it's really dealing with the presentation of when people talk about Jesus Christ. Are they introducing Christianity to you? Or are they introducing something totally different? Let me say that. So you all can bear with me for a minute. Bear with me for a minute here. Here we go.
Genesis chapter number 2, we're starting at verse 18. And it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him helper who is just right for him." And this is the different version from the King James Version. King James actually says something different. And it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone, should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet." And out of the ground, God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not one found to help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So if I could, I want to go back to the beginning where we really discussed this, because it's essential, it's important. When we dove into Genesis before, the topic and the discussion was the creativity of God, because this is the presentation now that God gives us. He makes a presentation unto us. And so it did not have anything to do necessarily with our thoughts. We didn't have anything to do with what God was doing. God speaks, and then things happen. And as these things transpire, we introduced the earth as chaotic. There was a chaos that was happening because it didn't have shape to it. It was void. And when God spoke, it started to shape and take form and void. And everything that God said, the earth began to actually become that, based upon God saying something. Now, this is important because Moses is the writer, and Moses talks about God speaking. And so as God spoke upon all of these things, they begin to come into play. And so as we learn now that as we get to the end of this chapter number 1, in 1 and 26, then God decides that he's going to make man in his image. And the image of God is spirit. St. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So now, so God gives man spirit dominion over everything that he had made. And so animals had a responsibility. And so they were receiving their responsibility based upon their name. And Adam named them. And so I want to point directly at something, because Adam now is working, right? And so when I'm speaking about Adam, I'm not talking about Adam by himself. I'm talking about the spirit. God, it wasn't the flesh that had the name. It was God gave Adam the name from his spirit, right? And because God is speaking to Adam, and God speaks spirit to spirit. And so as you dive into this, there are some interesting pieces here that becomes important, because as Adam is obeying God, God sees that he is alone. As Adam is obeying God, God sees that he is alone. And so now God decides to do something that he had already done for the animals, because they had a mate. In order for them to recreate and to make more of their own kind, they had to have a mate to do that, okay? This is the animals. And so God designed them to reproduce among themselves. But how can man do this without a mate? Now, the reproduction is important, and you have to know this, because God brings about his own people, and he wants them to recreate themselves, because he created man to do this, to give him a people that would worship him. And so not only does God create man, but he gives man a place that he can meet with him and that he can talk with him. Now, in the introduction that I'm making, not of Christianity, but of God, the first important piece is that God speaks to you. You cannot get around that explicit fact that Moses is the writer, but he's really diving in on the fact that God is speaking. He's not, no one can read. No one has know what letters are. They haven't even come up with a language. God is speaking spirit to spirit. That this is important now, because when God sees that man is not alone, he does not tell Adam what he's getting ready to do. He puts him to sleep because he doesn't need Adam's opinion about the mate or what he's getting ready to do. He did not ask Adam what did she need to look like. He didn't ask Adam what color her skin needed to be, how long her hair was, short, long, or didn't ask about her body shape or size, didn't ask about her intellect. Watch this now. As God puts Adam to sleep, he takes something from him we know to be a rib. So now this rib is in the hands of God. It's not in nobody else's thoughts. It's not in nobody else's way. It's not anybody's institution. It's not anybody's university. It is in the hands of God. This rib now knows God's hand, because now God shapes this rib. He forms this rib. This rib has no more contact with Adam. It has all of this time with God. Now, listen now. So as God forms what Adam is going to call woman, hear me clearly, Adam had no idea of what God was doing because he's asleep. He's asleep. There is no visualization, as we are as men today, we're visual, right? There is no visualization or anticipation or attraction that is going to let Adam know, you know, that's my girl and I want her. There's nothing there, you know. And so as now God doesn't wait Adam until he's finished with the woman that he is making for Adam. God does not wake Adam up until he's finished. And now I want you to pay close attention to this now, because, and I won't get into it tonight, but it comes later. So now what God has spoke to Adam before, the spirit of the man and the woman was present, because he wasn't speaking to the flesh of the man or the woman. He was talking to the spirit of the woman. That's why he told Adam, you know, that you got fruit here. You got trees you can eat, but this tree over here, don't eat. He's talking to them spiritually, them, because he them male and female, right? That was the spirit. That was a male and female spirit, and that's what God made. So this presentation now that God is about to make has some elements in it that I want you all to look at, especially my brother. Well, in my sister too. I want you to see this, right? That it is, number one, God sees that Adam is working. God sees that Adam has not only working, but he's doing the job that God has assigned him to. He's not out doing something that doesn't make sense. He's not out disobeying God. He's not out creating his own way. He's not out doing the things that, when we search for it because we don't know our way, you know, Adam is actually doing the assignment. And so there is no need for a man to look for a wife if first he don't know the assignment that God is giving him. Now watch this. I'm not talking about starting a church. I'm not discussing going out and evangelizing. We made that churchy when we said God has an assignment to you. The assignment is merely doing the things that God has asked of you to do, right, before you desire help. And notice now, Adam didn't ask for help. God saw he needed help. All right? Now look very closely now, because this is what is written for you King James readers and stuff. So it says in verse number 21, it says, so God caused man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord took out of the man's rib, took out man's ribs, and closed up the opening. So God did surgery on Adam, watch this now, and did not leave a scar. So what am I saying? The woman that God is getting ready to present to you cannot leave you wounded. Because when God pulled that part out of you, he did not leave any residual or reminder of where she came from. He didn't do that. So you have no idea of the presentation that God is making. Because he the anesthesia that he used on Adam would not allow him to wake up. That's one thing. Now, grab that. So man doesn't have anything to do with the woman that God has designed for him. Man doesn't have anything to do with that. Man cannot even begin to recognize that he needs help unless he's doing the work that God gave him. And again, not talking about starting a church, preaching, teaching, or anything of that nature. It could be that God has spoken to you to start a nonprofit. It could be that God has spoken to you to go out and do something that is going to benefit those that do not have. It could be that God has asked of you to start a business. It could be that God has asked of you in this business to do certain things in a community. And so as you obey God, he now sees that you need help. So a man could be out here working his tail off, but if he's not doing what God asked him to do, what's the purpose? Why would God give you help to do something that he hadn't asked of you to do? I'm talking to my brothers now. Talking to my brothers, all right? And we have to hear that. So whether you believe it or not, oftentimes, I'm gonna raise my hand, you know, when we get in engaged in a conversation with a woman, it's an attraction there because we visual, we like the way she looks, she got a nice body on her, but we have yet now to ask ourselves, what am I doing, right? If my presentation of God is that God is going to speak to me, have I heard God tell me what I need to be doing? Have I? Brothers, I know you're listening. I know you're listening. Have you heard God tell you what you need to be doing? Not anything regarding to the woman. Because if you're doing something regarding to the woman, that is backwards. You should be doing something regarding to what God has asked of you to do. I want to make this clear now, because if you're not paying attention, somebody can whisper in your ear and tell you to do something. If it's not what God asked you to do, why would he give you help to do that? And it's not, again, I want to stress this, it is not church related. Because what did the church have to do with God tending to the presence of God? With Adam tending to God's presence in the garden? What did the church have to do with that? Listen to my presentation of who God is. He's not introducing himself through a building. That's not how he's introducing himself. He's introducing himself telling you as the man now, we want to be real specific about this, is that I need you first to hear from me. I need you to have an ear to hear from me. And if you listen to me, I'm going to put you in a position of where you're doing my work, and my work does not leave you poor, does not leave you outside, it does not leave you uncovered. So I'm getting away from the turkey stuff now. You know, I really want you to grab a hold of this. Listen to this, my brother. Before you desire a wife, you have to desire to hear the voice of God. And not about her, but about the thing, the assignment that God has given you. I hope you all hear me, because this is vital. In order to go to the next step in this, you got to be there. Because if you're listening to God and you're obeying God, you're doing what God wants you to do, right? And let's step away from the building that's brick or wood or a great edifice that has a cross on it or a name that mentions anything from a biblical context. Let's move that building out of the way. And let's move the assignments that come inside that building that some people call titles. Let's move that out of the way. Let's just hear the baboons that God has given you something to do, and this assignment requires your hand to be on. This assignment requires you to engage it. And when you do that, you now touch the heart of God, because he doesn't want you to be by yourself doing this. Whew. And he's now thinking more of you behind your obedience. You obeying God opens up the door for God now to do something that you really was not designed to do for yourself, and that's pick your mate. I know I said something that's probably going to cause some of you all to lose your mind right now. If you obey God, he is going to now take a portion of you. Listen to this now. He's going to take a portion of you that has been close to your heart, close to your vital organs, protected those vital organs, that knows your heartbeat, that knows who you are, and he's going to fasten and shape and form this person. Not you, because you don't know how to do this. You're not wise enough to do this. He's going to do this himself, and watch this. What he's making for you as a mate is spending time to know who God is, knows God's touch, know God's hand, know God, how he is forming her. She doesn't know you. She knows God. Well, I felt the presence of the Lord. She doesn't know you. She doesn't really know that the presentation is going to be made with you. She's not concerned about you. She's not worried about you. She doesn't even know who you are. Listen to me. She only knows who God is. Adam had no idea what was going on. Eve had no idea what was going on. Eve's heart was not towards Adam. It was towards God. I hope y'all hear me here now. Let's look at this for what it is. This was the first presentation that God made, and he does it. Man had nothing to do with this. Are y'all hearing me? Man, Adam couldn't even put this together if he tried. Wasn't wise enough. You know, God was creating all of this. Isn't that something? You know, God was creating all of this. And I had this question years ago, and I had gone through a divorce, perplexed about so many different things. And oftentimes, you know, we kid ourselves when we go through a divorce and we say we had nothing to do with it. And oftentimes we participate in it. Whether it failed or whatever happened, you know, we participated in it. And you know, if there was no infidelity, no cheating, no physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and I discovered that financial abuse. Oftentimes you ask yourself, you know, what went wrong? What did you, if there was infidelity, the person that didn't cheat, you know, you begin to ask yourself, what did you do wrong? And I want to ease some pain from you. Probably more than likely, what you did was not listen to God. That's the only thing. We listen to our emotions, and again, we're visible. Because the presentation that people are making to us about who God is more from Christianity or from a religious perspective, and it does not truly depict who God is. It does not even show that God is interested in me. You know, people tell me that the Lord Jesus Christ loved me, but what's the presentation? It's Christianity, the church building, the people that are in these suits, the women in the high heels, the tight dresses on, the loose dresses, the pastor in his robe, everybody with their secrets. I'm just being honest. Everybody with their secrets. But the truth of the matter is we never really understood because nobody told us. Nobody told me that if I do what God had designed me to do, then he would make a presentation to me. Let me go back a little bit further. Nobody ever taught me until in my later years that I need to hear from God. No one taught me that. No one instructed me that I needed to hear from God. Look at these important elements. And if we were taught these things, would it have made life different? I don't know. You know, I don't know, because sometimes we see what we want, and that's what we want, and that's what we're going to go after. I did that. You know, it looked good, and I thought it was good. And, you know, I told somebody today, you know, something that my big mama used to tell me, and it sounded comical when she first said it, because we take on so much. And sometimes, you know, we take on things of other people and we think we want them. But she told me this. She said, never allow someone to put something on your plate that you're not going to eat. Never let them do that. Because when they see it's on your plate, they're going to keep offering you that. Sometimes we put our own descriptions about what we think we want out of a mate. And when we get it, that ain't what we want, because that's our thoughts. Those are our expectations. And through that, I learned that, and I really had to take the advice my big mama gave me, and she said, have no expectations. I didn't understand that. I had no clue about that. I didn't know what it meant, didn't know what it felt like, and I'm dealing with this now. She said, have no expectations. And I would tell her, the big mama, that don't make sense to me. You know, why would I not have expectations? Now, as I grew older, I began to understand what she meant. Because my expectations are sometimes not realistic. They're not fair. And my expectations may change. So the expectations I should have is not of the one that I'm looking at, but I should look at the person in the mirror. That's me. That's where my expectations come from. Because, you know, Adam didn't have any expectations of Eve because he didn't know she was coming. He had no idea she was coming. The only thing that he knew that when God presented Eve to him, he saw it and it was good. This was God's expectation. Don't know how long Adam was asleep. Don't know how long the anesthesia had him out. Don't know that. What I do know was while he was asleep, what she formed was in his hand. She didn't know Adam's touch. Her spirit, her eyes wasn't toward him. It was always pointing to God. How do I know that? Because when they sinned, part of Eve's punishment was her eyes and heart now were not no longer be pointed towards God, but towards Adam. Read that. So now, pay this mind. I'm saying it country-like now. You know, I want you to look deeper into this. Eve didn't have anything to do with Adam's construction. Adam didn't have anything to do with Eve's construction. Adam had to, she first hear the voice of the Lord, obey God's voice, then God gives him help. Doesn't give him help to do what she wants to do. He only gives him help to the assignment that God has given him. Think about it now. And if we don't make this churchy, when God makes a presentation to you, and listen, brothers, when God presents this woman to you, there is nothing that you need to do to make her who God says she is. There is nothing that you need to do. Let me back up and say it much clearer. There is nothing you can do to make her who God has formed her to be. She comes equipped from the hands of God. Now, women, simultaneously, there is nothing that you can do to make this man other than who God has made him to be. Will he be what you want when he gets there? Will she be what you want when she gets there? No. Because the God's hand to form you now has to come where he's dealt with you all individually. Now he has to form you to become one. For those that have never been married and you visualizing your mate, stop. If you haven't heard from God, the only thing that's going to keep you out of divorce, out of the courts, is that number one, you hear from the Lord. And you have to know God's voice in order to receive what he's making for you. She never said that Eve received Adam. It says after God made this presentation of Eve, Adam received her by saying, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I will call her woman. He received what God had given him. And so he didn't know anything else. It becomes difficult in the time that we live in if we try to read what Moses wrote in our time. Because, you know, we make our selections. We make our choices. And it's not that we make choices that God doesn't know that we're going to make. He knows the choice he's going to make. But that doesn't mean that the choices he has for you, you're ready for. I'm going to say something. I'm real private, and I'm not going to say names or anything of that nature, you know. But I made a lot of bad choices. And say they were bad women. I made a lot of bad choices because I never really paid any attention to what God was saying to me about the work that he was wanting me to do. I was trying to hear God about a ministry he was trying to get me to do. I want y'all to notice the difference now. The ministry I deemed as my ministry, something I felt like I needed to do in the community, but it was never something that God asked me to do. Think about that. So as I was doing my thing, I wanted somebody to do my thing with me. I know some of y'all probably chuckling and laughing, you know, but I really wanted somebody to do my thing with me. I never really sit down and did something that was fundamental, and that was read. And it wasn't until I read and studied that I discovered that while I was doing my thing, God didn't want me to have a wife because I was doing my thing. It didn't matter how many pulpits I stepped into, how many times I preached. If it wasn't what God wanted for me, he wasn't ready to give me or make the presentation of the woman that he wanted me to have. And watch this now. He never gave man dominion over the woman and never gave woman dominion over the man. He wasn't to rule the woman. Because now that was a responsibility unto God, not to the woman, but she had to be responsible and accountable to God for the presentation that God made him. The difficulty in this is that we make ourselves accountable one to another, and if you make yourself accountable to your wife, you're gonna mess up. You're gonna do some things, you're gonna hide because you believe you can hide those things. When you make yourself accountable to God, you can't hide a thing. When that's the presentation that he made to you, notice now, you don't have to share with her who God is because she came from him. You don't have to tell her what hurts because she came from you. You know, he pulled her out of you. There's a DNA connection with who you are with that woman that he has made a presentation with. I know that sounds crazy, far-fetched, and y'all probably think he's born and lost his mind. Probably think I'm crazy. Think about it. You all have been married for a while. Is there something that your wife knows about you that you haven't shared? Through time, you probably talked about it, you know? But there's a piece of her that has been in the presence of the Lord and not churchy, but she spent time with God and God has told her about you. Because if she asks God, he gonna tell her. What does that mean, women? You know, you connected with someone that not to say they're a bad name, but probably has not heard from God. Because you want to make him hearing from God churchy, religious, and it's not. The missing element we have in this earth is that we have faltered by putting ourselves in the hands of a book and not in the hands of the Lord. We run to the book to hear what the book has to say. Even sometimes the book contradicts itself, where Jesus said one thing and Paul said another. I'm not discrediting the Bible. You know, but there are other elements and books that works in conjunction with it. But if we read all these books, we hear where a word of the Lord had come to someone that God had designed to hear from him. He never stopped talking. We get offended because we hear more or read more from the book. And when someone tells us what God is saying, they say it's not in the book. Well, the book was written during the time period of those people, but it's still the process of God should never change. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if it is, he didn't use the book to speak to them. He spoke to them himself. Why is this important? In our decision-making, my brothers, my sisters, we're asking everybody's opinion. We're reading the books they want us to read, some biblical, some not, and to shape how we think and what we see. And not one time have we spent time listening to what God wants. Because if we hear what the Lord says, he's formed this woman, my brother. If we hear what the Lord says, that man is working before he comes to you, my sister. And you are God's presentation. You are not window dressing. You are not faulty material. You are not wounded and bruised. You are not beat and battered. You, when God presents you, you are whole. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're whole. If there is a problem, I'm seeking help for. Because the man is working that receives you, God has prepared him for you. Because he didn't have to ask for anything. because the same blessing that was given to Adam, she partook of. She was a part of that. Because what God spoke, he spoke into their spirit, not into their flesh. Think about this now. Think deeply into this. And so I was telling you earlier that, I made a lot of bad choices. And the second time I got a divorce, I was devastated because I thought this was the woman that God had to me. I really did. And it hurt me because I didn't get a divorce because of infidelity. I didn't get a divorce because of physical, emotional, mental, financial abuse. I found out my divorce came from me not being in the hands of a woman that was trying to shape me on how she thought I should be. And we call that manipulation. But regardless of the fact, I left me with a question. And I asked the Lord, I said, after reading Genesis chapter 2 and seeing what God did for Adam and to Eve, and he was focused in on the work, I asked the Lord, I said, how did Adam know you loved him? Because I read through Genesis chapter number 1, 2, and 3. I read the book of Adam and Eve. I read the book of Adam. And so I read other books and that Moses wrote. I read the historical books of Enoch and I dug deep. But nowhere did I read where God said, Adam, I love you. And I had to go speak somewhere. And so in the process of me going to speak, matter of fact, I was going to talk at the marriage conference. Didn't know why the pastor wanted me to go to the marriage conference and talk, because in my head, I had nothing to say to them. I had nothing I felt like I could give them. I'm dealing with my own failures. Watch this now. I'm dealing with my own failures. So in my failures, I don't think I can help anybody else. We like to go to those people who've been married for 30, 40 years and ask them how do they stay together. And they give us, sometimes they give us a realistic answer. There was a fight. We had to fight to stay together. And oftentimes the man was a cheater, but the woman stayed. And oftentimes there was no money. But they stayed. Oftentimes, there was more than economical issues. There was just issues of one going to church, one not. So a vast minority of reasons, but they stayed together. My question to God was, how did she know you loved him? I never read that anywhere. And so we like to tell people that when we're introducing them to Christ Jesus, Jesus loves you. It's not even written in the Bible where it says God loves you. It says, for I have loved thee. Never says he loves you. It says, for I have loved thee. So God, how do we know you love us? I'm speaking for the me. How did Adam know that you loved him? And so I went with days, knowing I had to go speak at this conference, didn't know what God was going to give me to talk about. They had no idea. And plane arrives, it picked me up at the airport, take me to the hotel where the conference is. And anybody knows me, I don't like heights. I fly in an airplane, I jump out of an airplane, but I don't like heights. It's crazy. A standalone building that's too far up, I'm not that crazy about it. And so they put me on the top floor. It's in my hotel room, and just crying. Because for anytime I get ready to go up and speak to anybody, I cry. I really do. For you all don't know that, I'm a big baby. Because I know I'm responsible for the words I'm about to deliver. And I don't want to tell them something that's just to make them feel good. That's not my process. That's not what God asked me to do. And so as they came up to get me, I had my robe on and took me down to the conference area. And I'm not even with the armor bearers where people are trying to tote your Bible and your water and stuff of that nature. And so when I come in, they walk me up to the platform, and I get up, and people on the panel stand up, and I kneel down and pray, and I sit in my seat not knowing, because God hadn't given me a word. And so, and I'm used to that happening, so God has to speak to me because I study all the time, and he has to tell me what he wants me to say. And when I stood up and I got to the podium and they introduced me, I said to the Lord, I said, God, you still haven't told me how Adam knew you loved him. And then he told me, he said, I gave him a wife. That shook me. Because now I got jealous. I'm looking at all these people out here, these men that have women, that have wives. And immediately God spoke to me and said, Adam looked into the eyes of Eve and knew how much I loved him. Because I gave him someone of his equal to help him complete the task that I had given him. He was not to do it alone. But here I am now on an assignment, divorced, alone, and these men got women. And I stood up and I told them, I said, you know what, I don't know why I'm here. And I said, I told them the story about how I had come up and I've been asking God for weeks prior to this engagement, how did Adam know he loved him? And I said, it wasn't until I stood up here that God told me I gave him a wife. And I asked the brothers that were there, have you ever looked into the eyes of the woman that you're married to and saw how much God loves you? Not how much she loves you, but have you ever looked and seen how much God loves you? Because if you can see God's love in her eyes, this is God's presentation to you. Somewhere down the line, my brother, you have been doing the work. And if you can see how much God loves you, you've been working. But you've gotten caught up in the fact that it's just you. And it's not. It's you and her. And you don't have dominion over her. And her opinion matters. Because the work is not just yours. Is hers too. And she's helping you if you allow her to help the way she can help. It's her work too. This is the presentation I want to make to those that are seeking who Jesus is, who God is. This is the presentation that I want to bring before you, because the essence of it is that it's not anything that you do that makes God do the presentation for you. You know, if it was, and let me say this another way, because us as men, we have to be doing the work because this is what God has asked of us. We can't be doing the work to have a mate. We do the assignment that God has given us because we love God. Not because I'm doing this to obtain a woman. Now you're negotiating with God, and that's not what this is about. Just for you to do the work is enough. God, what is it that you would have of me to do? Men, if you're going from woman to woman, if you keep going from woman to woman, you have not heard God tell you what he desires of you. Because now you're trying to tell God what you need. Well, she's had too many issues. You know, she's not 36. She's not above 5'8". She's not from a certain family. She's not this or she's not that. Your eyes is on what she is not, and it's not on what God has asked of you. I love the presentation God has made to me. I couldn't have chosen it. I could not have thought about it. I could not have selected it because my eyes is always on something else. But when I put my eyes on the thing that God has asked me to do, and it wasn't churchy, God made a presentation to me. And it blew my mind. And I don't have an expectation of God's presentation. I have an expectation of God. Because of what he said and what he did, he has never lied to me. He has never lied to me. And everything God has asked me to do, I have done it diligently without any equivocation and didn't care what my sacrifice had to be. If God asked me to do it or told me to do it, I'm ready to get it done. And because of that, I wasn't expecting something, and it was right there in front of me. Always have been. And God's presentation was greater than any other thing I'd ever looked for or searched for. Here I am 56 years old, and I'm just not realizing that. I want to help you all. Not wait to waste your life away. My brothers, listen to me real well. I know you are. Whether you're young, and you're looking for a wife, whether you've had one, you lost her because of the divorce or whatever that is, do what God is asking of you to do. And do it because this is your assignment. God is asking you. Don't do it because you think that a woman is coming behind. Could it be because God sees you doing the work? He sees you've engaged his process. He sees that you trust him, and now you move his heart to do something for you that you should not have any faith. Neither should she. If you want to know the truth about it, it's God that selects who he wants you to be with because he designed them to be with you. You know, whether they are no nonsense. Because he don't want you playing around. Whether they need clarity, because if he's speaking to you clearly, you need to communicate clearly. You know, if there's certain things that they don't do or don't eat, then, you know, that's a sign because if he makes you all one, he's trying to keep you both whole and healthy. You know, if there is a sense of urgency or a sense of calm, then, you know, God is using the things that he gave her because she had her in his hand. The same way he breathed life into you, he breathed life into her. He didn't give you the power to give her life. He didn't give her power to give you life. She was the life giver. And the strength is that, you know, he only brought her out so that you could have someone to work with to do it. And the strength and the power of bringing what was in the hands of God together with what God had already created is a powerful thing. If we leave the religious responsibilities and thought processes out of it, man, this is a powerful thing. Look at God's presentation now. If I'm presenting God to you, the first thing you're going to find out in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis is that God is going to speak to you. I don't care if you're in a nightclub shooting heroin up your arm. I don't care if you're having a homosexual relationship, a gay, a lesbian relationship. Don't even care about none of that stuff. You do it, God is right there with you. Whether you're lying or cheating or sleeping with this man's wife or whether you're sleeping with that woman's husband, that doesn't matter. God's presentation to you is that he is first going to speak to you. And that's what I want to do. I want to present a God that will talk to you regardless of your situation, regardless of what you've gotten yourself into, regardless of where you stand or where you live, regardless whether you have money in your bank account or whether you're flat broke, regardless of the church that you go to. My presentation is that first God is going to speak to you. And if you can hear from the Lord, surely you can obey him. For my brothers out there, stop looking. Hear from the Lord. Get busy with what he has asked you to do. Find your heart seeking what's in God's heart for what he needs out of you. Discover that assignment. And trust me when I tell you, whatever presentation God is going to make is going to blow your mind. It's better than anything you could ever imagine. And if you keep obeying God, he's going to sharpen that relationship to where it's no longer a relationship. It's a covenant between the two of you all, never to be broken. Well, my time is running short. I apologize for the start, me getting in the taxi cab and coming back over to the hotel. But I want to pray with you all before I get off this line. So pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, O God. Lord, I pray that as before I've said something that will spark the young men to seek you, to hear from you, that will encourage the women to stay in the palm of your hand as you mold them, oh Lord, for the mate that you're sending their way. It doesn't matter, Father, how many issues they had previously. It's where you're taking them right now. Be with us, Lord, while we're here in Las Vegas. Keep us safe from all those issues with this new variant, oh God. You are a healer. You are our provider, God. You have given us authority, Father. And in our spirit, we take that authority right now. God, it's not a churchy thing. It's not anything of a show or a game. It's the very power that you have given us. I bless you, oh God. Father, thank you for all the people that you have allowed to be and listen in, oh God, that they may have heard something that will push them further to obey you. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Well, dear heart, thank you again for listening in. Again, I apologize. I was going to start this at 7:30 like it was scheduled, regardless of where I was. And I'm just excited about the things that God is doing. I'm excited about doing the work. I'm continuing to do the work, and I'm going to keep doing the work. I'm not measured by religious people or anything of that nature. I'm really just here to do the work that God has given me. I'm blessed that God has blessed me with a presentation. I am blessed that God has blessed me with a presentation, and I received it, and I guard that presentation with my life. I love you all. Until next Tuesday, God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Until then, be blessed. Amen.